I'd like for us to take the next few minutes to think about the idea of communication and speech. So I guess the last verse of that song is really what I'm going to be focusing on. And I believe the Bible has guidance and instruction for us on how it is that we are to communicate with others. And these are some verses that we're going to go through tonight that I've had to read and reread and remind myself of quite a bit. So I decided that's what I'd talk about tonight. We're going to start in Proverbs 13, and I'd encourage everyone to open their Bibles there. We're sort of going to be jumping around a little bit tonight to some different places in the Bible, so I'd encourage everyone throughout to follow along and follow with me in the Scriptures. Proverbs 13 and verse 3. We read, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." Right off the bat, we can see that how we talk, how we communicate is important. The contrast, the distinction in this verse made between those who guard their mouth and those who don't, it's a big distinction. It's the distinction between life and destruction. It's not those who guard their mouth will have an easier time making friends or will do better in school or anything, and those are good things, but it's not quite as big of a contrast as life and destruction. So we can understand from that immediately that our communication is important. How we talk to people, when we talk to people, that's very important. Sometimes I think it's better that we just not say anything at all than to come out with something that we shouldn't, obviously. I remember, I think I was probably 17 or so, the first time I heard a particular quote, and it sort of has stuck with me ever since, and that's, "It's better to keep your mouth closed and be thought a fool than to open it and remove any doubt." And whoever penned that particular sentence, you know, people argue over that a little bit, I think. But regardless, that idea, the idea of sometimes it's better just to not say anything at all and just keep your mouth closed is backed up by Scripture. Let's turn over to Proverbs 17, looking at verses 27 and 28. We read, "He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive." Just a couple pages back to Proverbs 10, verse 19. Proverbs 10, 19, we read, "In the multitudes of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." So right off the bat, again, we can see that someone who restrains their lips, someone who doesn't say anything, is wise. Jumping over a little bit to the New Testament, we're going to look just real quick at one verse in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:16, we read, "But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness." So I think when we sort of put all these verses together, we can understand that if what we're going to say is purely foolishness, or is, if it's idle, if it's worthless, or if it's profane, we obviously shouldn't say it at all. So there are certain times and certain things that Christians have no business talking about, Christians have no business saying. When we do speak, we need to choose our words carefully. Thinking back on Proverbs 17 again, this time focusing on the first verse there, Proverbs 17, 27, that we read earlier. "He who has knowledge spares his word, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit." When I think of someone who has knowledge and understanding, who spares his words and is of calm spirit, that makes me think of someone who thinks before he opens his mouth, in any event. Before we say anything, we should think. I think this idea of thinking and choosing our words carefully is as important today as it has ever been, because of how easily we can communicate with so many people in such a short amount of time. Phones, cell phones, email, Facebook, Twitter, whatever the next thing is it's going to be, that we can just, you know, throw words out to the universe, make it easy for us to communicate with people in a very, very short amount of time. And there's an old saying about you can't unring a bell. Once that noise, once that sound is out there, it's out there. And regardless of how bad you regret saying it, whatever, typing it, sending it, it's there, and there's nothing we can do about that. Another verse talking about how we choose our words, Proverbs 15, in verse 1, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Now, obviously, this verse is applicable in all phases of our life, but there's two that sort of jump out at me, just particular to my own experience. One is dealing with family and siblings in particular. I had this verse, and my brothers did as well, quoted to us thousands of times while we were growing up. I'm the second of four children, and the three oldest are all boys, and we're all very close together. None of us were particular troublemakers or anything like that, but as you know, young children often do, we would tease each other, do whatever, get each other riled up. And my parents were constantly telling us, a soft answer turns away wrath, that when someone's trying to get under your skin or someone's done something that upsets you, think about this verse before you respond to that. It turns away wrath, and a lot of times that'll stop an issue or an argument or whatever before it even comes up. Secondly, this particular verse is in our work. From time to time, I've only been working about a year and a half, I guess, but already it's not uncommon that I'll receive an email or a letter or something from somebody on the other side of an issue or a case or a transaction or whatever, and it will be less than polite. And they'll say some things that aren't very nice in there. And of course, my initial reaction is to want to fire an email back or send a letter back right then to do whatever I can to say, you know, you're wrong, you don't know what you're talking about, or whatever. And at the recommendation of a couple of the older attorneys that I work for, I've developed my own 24-hour rule that most of them do as well. And that is, when we get something like that that's upsetting or, you know, frustrating for whatever reason, you type out your email, you get your letter ready, and then you set it aside for a day, a full 24 hours. And then before sending it, you reread it. And of course, that response, your initial response, is never the one that goes out the door. You always adjust it, make changes, make it more appropriate. And always, it's a softer answer 24 hours later than it is right then. And it's easy to see when someone doesn't do that versus when someone does do that, the response is always better, always. And that a lot of times some people, for whatever reason, just are looking for something to get upset about. And if you give them anything, then they've got what they want. And that's just one way you can sort of deflate situations really before they ever even get started. So we can read from these verses that those who are wise, those who think about what they say, that's sort of the advice we can gather from these few verses in Proverbs, that thinking before speaking, choosing words carefully, and even choosing not to speak at times is what God wants us for us to do. Flipping over to the New Testament, looking in Galatians verse 6. Galatians 6 verse 1, we read, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." We recently talked about this at one of the Friday night classes that Brother Chandler leads, and everyone agreed that this is a difficult conversation. This is a difficult thing to do. But if we have read and we understand and we have thought about on the front end this advice we read in Proverbs, if we choose our words carefully, if we think about what we say before we say it, if we restrain ourselves and spare our words and have a calm spirit, approaching someone, having a difficult conversation in a spirit of gentleness will be much easier for us. It'll come much more natural for us. Hopefully, whoever is doing that will be able to restore a brother who's been overtaken in sin and comply with this direction here in Galatians 6:1. Another situation, I guess, where that would come in, we read Colossians chapter 4. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, verses 5 through 6. "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Again, if we have these ideas in our mind and think and study and pray about how to communicate with people, how to choose our words, when to speak, when not to speak, answering questions wisely, being able to give a soft answer when one is necessary, will be much easier for us and be much, much more natural for us. And we will be able to, our speech will be with grace and seasoned with salt if we can do these things. So we see what we need to do, and we see where, you know, just a few examples of situations where that can play into our lives. But it's not easy. Let's look in James. James chapter 3. This is a passage that's familiar to a lot of us. James 3, verses 1 through 12. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature in the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So here again we get a glimpse of how important our communication, our speech is. It's like the rudder of a ship, even though it's such a small part of that, it directs the whole thing. It can steer the whole thing. And also, it's very difficult. No man can tame the tongue. It's not something that we can just, you know, do overnight. Okay, I know how to communicate with people. I know what's right to say, what's not right to say. It's something we have to study about and think about. Besides all the reasons we've already talked about, communicating appropriately, using proper speech is important for another reason. Let's look in Matthew. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. 12, 36 and 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So we read right here plainly that in the day of judgment we'll all have to give an account for the things we say. So even if being an encouragement, you know, there's not, even if these other practical reasons for watching how we talk and what we say, this alone is enough that we should obviously study and think about this thing and make this an important issue in our lives, because we are going to have to give a word for it, give an account for it in the day of judgment. So as we move forward, let's all guard our mouths, restrain our speech, choose our words carefully, and in so doing, we can please God, encourage, and lift each other up.